be seated if you would. Andre, you want to go ahead and introduce and share.
Please forgive me if I'm just a little bit emotional.
Yeah, that's all right.
Get my composure, because I want to be all about them. But the start of 2020, I made a decision to walk away from youth. I left a church of 8 years, and I decided I'm not going to deal with youth anymore. And God's always got a setup plan. No matter what you try to do, He's got a setup plan. So he gave me the opportunity to be with these teens. He gave me an opportunity to grow with them. He gave me a leadership to grow with. And when they sing that song, oh, all my life you've been faithful. All my life he's been faithful. In the big things, but he's definitely been grateful in the small things. And I stand here today, and I look at all these teens and young people, and I say, when I didn't have no more love to give, God sent me a youth group that decided they was going to love me no matter what. My first encounter was I heard somebody was bashing me at their school because I had left their church. And I remember Miss Chloe stood up and she said, you don't know what our church been through. That's not Andre. Andre did it because he loves us. And when I tell that story all the time, because when you make an impact on a young person's life, and it's not about me, but when Jesus come into their life and they begin to, then they can stand up and testify, that's not the God I serve. That's not who he is. You know, and it wasn't so much of me. It was the Christ that was in me that she was standing up for. And when you empower young people with the right tools of who God is, they'll stand up and they'll fight hell with a water pistol because they know that's not the story. So tonight, today, I have Braylon. Braylon just came back, but I'm not going to take away from her testimony. This young lady is so special. I spent time with her. She's been at my house, spending the night with my teenage kids, and she's got a great, great testimony. So I'm just going to pray over y'all and just let y'all have and do, okay? So Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Father, we thank you for these testimonies right now of victory. They're just not a testimony of, oh, poor pitiful me, but Father, I know without a shadow of a doubt, it's a testimony of who you are in their lives, and they're a testimony of the victory that you have brought them through, and that you're going to continue to carry them on through into their young adult years and into life itself, Father. Father, I pray that everybody that hears their voice, don't hear just them, but they hear how great you really are in each and every one of our lives. Father, we thank you and we call it blessed in the name of Jesus. Amen.
So, hi. most of y'all don't know me. I'm an upbeat and social person. And I also think I'm fun. But I will have more God involved with my future because I went to solve my problems. And I have God in my life now, and before I went to solve my problems, I thought I had God like I do now, but I didn't know. I was just pushing him away, and it was from the pain in my past. I live with my grandmother from all the pain of the past. I went to live with her, and she started dating Richard, Some of you know him, some of you don't. But I did not like him at all. I really didn't. They got married in August 2020, and that made me mad. That really made me mad. Right before that, a year before that, my grandfather had passed in 2019, so it's basically why. I was mad, sad, and I felt really unloved. We met with Andre and his wife, Rachel, and my now best friend, Nadea. I got to see how God has worked in their lives, in Josh's life. But I never really listened to it. I blamed God for everything, all the struggles. I got sent away from my problems that I had, anger issues, everything else. I wouldn't talk about my problems at first, but about 3 months in, I was feeling pretty good because I started talking. A Wednesday before I left, people told me I had to forgive myself, that I was fighting back God. I seen people leave that day who got there after me, and it made me mad because I wanted to leave. And my therapist, she pulled me for a session, and she talked over stuff, and then she said to me, I had to understand that I had to forgive myself to believe God forgave me, to forgive others. That was basically it. But the next night, on a Wednesday, that night, I was praying to God, and I said, God, forgive me. I want to forgive others. I want to forgive me. I wanted God to be with me because I needed him there. And at that moment, I felt like someone was there with me. I felt a safe warmth that said, I'm here. Then the next Wednesday, on the next week, July 14th, I went home. And that warmth that I had there, it went with me. And I love myself. I never did before I left, but I do now. Because I needed God. And I had a Bible verse that really standed out to me. Because it really brings out a verse that I needed before I left. But I was reading it when I was where I went. And it's Matthew 5:11. And it says, God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. And before I had God like I do now, I always would worry about what everybody else thinks of me. I would always worry about what I would be wearing. Even though I'd still dress the same way I did, I wouldn't try to make myself look special or anything. But I would always think people were going against me. and I felt like people just didn't like me. And then when I went there, I found that it doesn't matter what people think of me. It doesn't matter how what they say about me. It only matters what God and me think about me. And that's what I learned, because God came into my life, and I'm happy that he did.
Good job. I'm going to ask you a question. We have young people giving their testimony. How many of y'all have ever dealt with forgiveness? How many of y'all have ever dealt with forgiving someone else? But she just told you, once she knows who God is, it's easy to forgive. Because guess what? No matter what the person has done to you or said about you, God still thinks the same way of them. And there's no reason why we should hold on to that, because then we take on an identity that we shouldn't take on. But once she said, I still wear the same clothes, but she don't see the same person, because she knows that God is with her. And Braylon, thank you for your testimony. I mean, let's give her another round of applause. That's good. I love it. Give me some. And the next one, I keep it brief. This is my firstborn child. She's the best daughter in the world. And she always says, what do you always say? I'm the only daughter in the world. that's what I say to her a lot. She's 17. She's grew up a lot. And I'm not going to take nothing from her, because I always tell them, don't follow Jesus because daddy did it. Follow Jesus because you know Jesus is who he is in your life. So, Tanaja Thomas.
I didn't always grow up in church. My mom wasn't in my life. She left at 13 months old. I don't remember physically her being in my life until I was six. Nothing changed in my life until I was 7 years old, and we started to go to a church called Mount Olive. I began to see my dad change in church, and it became to change me. When I was eight, my dad left me for 60 days, and he was in jail. It broke me because I didn't get to see him, but I wrote him a card, and I don't have it with me, but it was a handprint of my hand on his hand with lettering around it, and it was just to let him know that I have faith in him and that I loved him. But it really did break me because he wasn't there, but I had my granny who took care of me. But when I turned nine, we started to go to CFM, and I forget who introduced us, but we started going there, and I began to see my dad physically change completely, and he began to be in church and be physically there and became pastor at first, yeah, a pastor, and on then it began to change my life. But there was days that I would break, because at 9 years old, right after we started going to CFM, I was with my mom for the weekend, like I usually go on the weekends with my mom, and her boyfriend got to a heated argument, and he physically abused her in front of me. I broke because that was the first time I ever seen my mom physically cry in front of me. And I didn't know how to react as a 9-year-old. But I still began to go to church, but I put on a face because I was a pastor's daughter. But one day I was with her again, and I began to see even more abusive, but not physically, mentally. He would call her under her name, And it broke me even more because I didn't understand why she would stay with him. But that changed my perspective on my dad because, yes, she was with a black male. And it changed my perspective on who my dad was. So I began to hold in a lot of stuff because I was afraid that he would react the same way. So I feared telling him anything that I was going through. If she was going through something and she told me about it, I wouldn't go back and tell my dad because I figured he wouldn't let me see my mom anymore. Then I met the year my dad met my stepmom, who began to change my dad's life even more because he was in a broken state as well. My stepmom, who had showed up and showed me how to become a young woman, is now who I call my backbone and who I now call mom number two. She began to change my life more than anybody else have ever changed my life. And she showed me who God was in a perspective that I've never seen before. And that physically wore on me because I never really had my mom there. She was there, but she wasn't there. At 10, I would put on dances, and I began to do dances for Christ because I love to dance and I love to sing. But I would dance because that's my passion. And I'd get so happy because I would invite my mom and she would tell me, yeah, I'm coming, but never show. And it would break me. And that's where I really began to lose faith in Christ because my mom would never show. And I would be like, well, why am I putting on dances for Christ if she would never show? Because that's the one person who needed it the most. So it broke me. Because I was doing right and following Christ, but I would get so angry at him for her not being there. But I kept putting on dances for Christ because I felt the need to, and because I was a pastor's daughter. But I kept dancing at 11 and 12, and I moved up because we had two different dance teams, and I kept my head up. But when I was 12, I was doing a dance, and I don't remember what the song was called. But I realized that there was always a mom there who supported me, and her name was Rachel. And that's all I needed in front of me was to show a miracle that I don't need anybody else. I just need somebody to show me who was there. I was striving for God for a very long time, and I began to hold on even more stuff like anger, and I would never share anything about my mom still up until that point. But at 14, in 7th grade, I started to date guys behind my dad's back, but I would never tell him that because I still feared that he would react the same way as my mom's boyfriend did. And I was afraid that he would think something of them, so I continued to do it. And at 9, nothing really happened at 15, but beginning of my freshman year, middle of my freshman year, I started to hang out with the wrong crowd of people, and they got me into vaping. They got me into smoking weed, and I met a guy who controlled me very much, that I shouldn't have let me get the best of me, but because I seen my mom with a guy who was just like him, I thought it was okay. Even though I had my dad who was completely the opposite. He began to control my life, and I would lie to my parents of where I was going. And I would lie to my mom, and I would use my mom for whatever reason that he wanted. If I would say, I'm going to my mom's, I'd lie to her and be like, I'm actually going to a friend. So I'd really be at his house and not with her. And I continued to do that until I was like the sophomore year. And it all came out after I had turned 16, a couple weeks after I turned 16, because my dad came up to me and told me he knew everything that I had been doing, and I had to tell him even more stuff that I was doing. And I committed sexual sins, and I totally regret that. But it broke me because I had to tell my parents. And it broke me because I had to tell my mom, even though my mom kind of acted like, oh, it was okay. But really, it wasn't okay. I turned 16. And after that, I started to go to therapy because I didn't feel myself anymore. I was angry at the world. I was angry at God. I was angry at myself. And at therapy, it helped, but it didn't really help because she was, I don't remember what religion she was, but she wasn't like on the same page as I was. But there was one thing that she told me is that the cucumber story that I shared with my dad, that when you make a pickle, it's a cucumber before then. So when you take a cucumber and you put it into a like certain type of juice, if it sits there long enough, it'll turn into a pickle. That's how we are as people. If we're in an environment too long, we'll begin to be like that environment. So it's always stuck with me. And ever since then, I've never really began to forgive my mom. And one day I talked to my mom and I told her that I was kind of upset at her, and she told me that, you know, she'd be there for me, but I feel like there was nothing there, so I never really forgave my mom. But this year of 2021, I was striving for God and still trying to chase my life, and I was keeping faith. But this year of 2021, in March, my mom called me in midday and told me that my little brother that was 4 was taken from her. Because of meth. Something I never knew she did, or nothing she ever told me. So I told my dad. I felt like I was just going to hold it in, but I told my dad because something told me in the back of my head to tell my dad. So I told him, and all he did was tell me to pray about it and keep faith. So I did. And a little bit after that, a few weeks after that, my mom got him back. But she began to tell me that she tried meth a couple years ago, something I never knew. It's nothing she ever told me. And at that moment, I was broken. And at one point, when I was 16, I never knew my mom was still getting abused physically until my cousin one night had came out and told me that my mom came running to her house and crying and busting through her door and was crying and saying that my little brother was in the back seat and she was physically getting abused while in the car. And that broke me as well, and that's where my faith began to go back down. And I was so angry at her and God of why he would put, of why he would let this happen. And I was striving so hard. And so my dad continued to tell me just to pray, so I did. I was happy and relieved when he came back. But then after that, me and my relationship between me and my mom this year has grown more and more than it ever has. Now my relationship with Christ isn't the best, but not the worst. And I'm still working on myself because I used to deal with self-esteem really bad. And it began to lead me to cutting one time. And my dad found out about it, and he stopped it. And what I've learned, that God's timing is not ours, but it's his. And that I can't always think of what people think of me, because I've always thought of that. And for something that happened to me that we should like happen to us as people, you have to have faith in what you speak. In what you speak or what you want to happen in your life or to change in your life. And that's what stuck with me the most.
I will say, I will testify that she has grown a lot, a whole lot. I've always seen, no matter, can I speak to the parents for just a second? I think sometimes as parents, we get caught up in what they're doing and we lose sight of who they really are. And we can come at them a different way. Instead of the way of, hey, you're still who I say you are. You know, I know for a fact that I didn't always handle it. And when she told me about that her mother was getting abused and it caused her to look at black people a different way, that's where I drew the line. And I'm like, I'm not like that. It's your actions. Hurt people hurt people. Yes, he happens to be black, but he could be white. He could be Hispanic. He could be whatever the nationality or race he is. It's just hurt people hurt people. And I listened to her testimony, and I realized she said one thing that rings in my mind is, she said, a pastor's kid. You know, I had to put on this for a pastor's kid. And I never wanted her to feel like she had to be a certain way to be a pastor's kid. I want you to be real. I want you to be uncut. I'm thankful for what God has done in her life. She's a tremendous talent. She's a lot to our family. She babysits for us. That's a big plus because I got like 20 kids. All right. So, She wants to share one more thing, just like her dad. Go ahead.
But I also want to thank Josh for talking to me a couple weeks ago, or a few weeks ago, about forgiveness. And that's where I began to forgive my mom, and I have fully forgiven my mom. But a big thing I want to ask is does my family forgive me? Because that's all I need.
I'm going to sit back over here. I think it's very important. Let's forget about everybody else in the room for a second. Even if they don't, he has. And that has to be the foundation of everything in your life. Now, I know your family, they're going to. And can I tell you this? Forgiveness doesn't mean that they're not hurt, right? The hurt's still going to be there. So if you see hurt and pain in someone, that doesn't mean that they're withholding forgiveness. There has to be healing with forgiveness too. And I think a lot of times in our world, we believe that forgiveness is forgetting. But only God has the power to do that. And thank God, thank you, Jesus, he does. He casts things as far as the east is from the west. And so the reality is this, it's not that your family needs to forgive you. I know your family, right? It's there. It's that the healing that comes only through Jesus Christ, be in their life and in yours. So, question. When we were standing in this room just a second ago and we asked those teenagers, we said, what is it you want to see God do today? Three of them said, I want my sins gone. And what was our immediate response, Andre? Done. Done. It's all Jesus. Sweetie, you, and two of you, I haven't heard the third yet, so we'll get you in a second. Y'all made statements where your relationship with God is not where it needs to be. Am I right? You said that, and you said yours is getting better. Am I right, Braylon? I used to live my entire life believing that my relationship with God had to get to a level for God to accept me. But the reality is, your relationship with God is not based on you. Not one minute of your life has your relationship with God been based on you. It's based on who he is. And your relationship with God today is good because God is good. And your relationship with God today is amazing because God is amazing. And your relationship with God today is, it's solid because God is stable. And so today, I think it's important that we realize your testimony is great. His is greater. And in you, he has already started to work. And in you, all three, and I'll give you a little credit to what you're going to say. I mean, God is using you greatly right here, right now. God chose you for this moment, to this audience, to speak the words that are coming out, to share the testimonies of his recovery and his goodness in your life. Don't you dare for a moment base what you believe in yourselves on the facial expressions of these people, on the compliments you receive after. The Bible says it's by grace we are saved through faith. Do you believe God loves you? Do you believe God loves you? Do you believe God loves you? Oh, so true. It's not of works. We can't boast about it. So your standing with God today is based on his standing, not yours. And his standing is good. And so for that, let's speak to the lie. You exposed a lot in your life today. That is not easy. You exposed a lot in your life today. It's not easy. But the reality is this. The Bible says when we confess, he's faithful. He's just to do what? To forgive. Church, what else does he do beyond forgiveness? Cleanses. Cleanses. So from the moment that you gave it to God, he took it away. And you are clean. You are clean. So we celebrate that in you today. And we appreciate your boldness in that. And I hope it's okay with everybody else that we just forgot they existed for a minute. Is that okay? Because if church can't be real, then let's get out. Let's go. God loves you right where you are. I'm proud of you.
And next up, Gabby, just met Gabby not too long ago. And she's amazing. Like, she's got the it factor. One day I walked up to her, and you don't hear this from most teens, and you don't really hear it from adults. I walked up to her one day doing right before service, and I said, "How's your day?" And she said, "Fantastic." And you know, some people, when they say fantastic, sometimes it's not fantastic. It's just, I'm going to say this just to get you away. I said, "Well, tell me what's so fantastic about it." She says, "Today I've been sitting, and it's just been me and God for the last few hours." So guess what? I know that day was fantastic because she was in the presence of God all that day. And I'm not going to take much from her because she's got a great and amazing testimony as well. So, Gabby.
I gave my original testimony a couple Mondays ago in youth. And afterwards, I was thinking about all the hardships that I had forgotten to talk about, because I wasn't fully scripted, and it's a lot easier to write out my thoughts and feelings than to talk about them. I realized that the extra hardships wasn't what was missing. What was missing was more of Jesus and how he saved me from the hardships and brought me to where I am today. I've done a lot of things I'm not proud of and gone directions I wish now I wouldn't, but I hadn't. But the most important thing to know is that when I gave up and let go of control because everything fell apart under my control, God was there to take control and lead me where I needed to go. Josh had mentioned that with the kids' testimonies, the adults wanted to pre-read them to make sure Jesus was actually included. And when I would go to write my testimony, that was all I could think of. I wrote a whole bunch about God, but the day of, I got super self-conscious and rewrote the whole thing. Everyone battles different things. For me, it was cursing, partying, drinking, porn, masturbation, sex, worshiping false gods, depression, anxiety, self-harm, eating disorders, violence, putting my identity everywhere that wasn't Christ, like men, women, friends, and family. The list could go on and on because the devil has many weapons that he used to attack me and other believers as well. The thing is, for so long, I fed into all of it instead of fighting. The one thing that remained constant was God, but I wouldn't listen. I was in constant misery and wanted to change, so I turned to the church, but they rejected me. And in my head, I thought God did as well. So I kept on with my lifestyle until I hit rock bottom and was ready for it all to be over. I was all alone, and as a last resort, I cried out to God, and he was there. I'm not proud of how or why I found God, but at least I did. From then, I began my walk with God, and it hasn't been easy, but it has been so rewarding. Even though I had God, I still tried to do things my own way, and sometimes I still struggle with listening to him. God took me through a season that took me a while to realize what it was and the purpose of it. At that point, I had given my life to God, but there were still things prohibiting me to grow closer to God. He took me through a season of loneliness. I had lost all of my friends and deleted all of my social media. I was so confused as to why I was being put through this because I was only looking at the situation through negative lenses. Once I changed my perspective, I realized the opportunity that God had given me. I've learned that sometimes God puts us through things that at the time we don't understand because we're so caught up on what had happened. My friends were pulling me so far away from where I needed to be in my walk with Christ, and social media was taking control of my life. I sought validation from notifications I got and put my worth in if people were texting me or not. I didn't even realize what I was doing until God had opened my eyes. I would think often how I didn't have time to read the Bible and talk to God, so he completely cleared my schedule. So in that season, I started talking to him every day and reading his word every day. And now God has brought a whole bunch of amazing Christians into my life, and I'm using social media to share his truth and, most importantly, his love. I know now that he was using that time to show me that all I need is him and that he needed to be my priority, or I would stay stuck in the same place that he had saved me from in the first place. I can have friends now and have social media without them becoming a problem because I was first shown that he needed to be my ultimate priority above all else. On July 18th, I experienced the happiest day of my life. Nothing of this world, no one from this world, made me as happy as I was in that moment. It was just me and God. The only thing that mattered was my relationship with him, and it was thriving. I was finally done trying to do things my way. I had finally handed everything to him and said, "I need you, and you alone are enough because I can't do it by myself." The beauty of your relationship with God is he will always give you the opportunity to make a 180 turn. He wants to have those moments with everyone. I know this for a fact because 2 days before, my relationship with God was tanking. We didn't talk, I didn't read his word, and I was ignoring what he was telling me. I felt so lost without him. So that morning, I woke up and read the word and wrote to him. Then I got ready while singing his praise. Once I was ready, I continued to write and read. Because I took that time and dedicated it to Jesus, I experienced the happiest and most peaceful moment I've ever had. God has really put it on my heart to share his word, truth, and love. I haven't listened for so long because I thought God couldn't use me to spread his word because I was just getting strong in my faith, meaning I hadn't been seriously reading the Bible for long. Even though I'm consistently learning more about the Bible, I still felt it wasn't enough. This feeling was also accompanied by anxiety, which I'm still working to overcome. I had extreme fear of judgment, but that's when God reminds me of John 15 and 18. It says, "If the world hates you, understand it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. However, because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of it, the world hates you." He reminds me that he called me not to be like people of this world, and it's okay if they hate me. I still need to get out there and lead as many as I can to Jesus, no matter how much fear and anxiety I have. This is my first step.
I think one word that I think of when I hear all three of their testimonies is forgiven. Forgiven. If you listen to their stories, I think they can about peg everybody in here with what they was dealing with. I mean, Gabby, her testimony when she first gave it was great, but she went a little bit more in depth and some things the church normally would not have a young lady say at this given time. And I don't have to repeat them because you heard them. But the fact is that at the end of it, it's Jesus. I don't have to do that because Jesus is now my sole purpose. Tanasia, you don't have to do that because Jesus is in the forefront. Braylon, you don't have to worry about who's going to look at you because it's Jesus. And long as he's looking down on you, I listened to a song called Intercession, and it's by Kurt Franklin. And in the song it says, "He sees me, but hears you. He sees me, but hears you." And I got to thinking about that. It's like, you know what? Sometimes we say it's the blood that's on our lives, and he looks down and he's, no, he sees us. That's why he sent his son. Because if he never seen us in our form, he could never send a Savior to help us out of it. So he had to see us for who we was. So he sent the Son. But guess what? But when he sees us, he hears the Son saying, Braylon, you're beautiful. You're wonderfully made. You're fearful. You know, Tanasia, I clothe you in forgiveness. Your purity don't let a sexual immorality think that defines your purity. It's when you decided to say, hey, I need Jesus. Father, I think about this. If we can think about this, girls, and I want you to constantly keep this in your mind. When we're going through, Jesus is at the right hand of his dad. Saying, remember, Dad? Remember what you sent me down there for? You know, you hear a lot of people say, well, God just don't understand. Well, thank God that God don't understand because he sent the Son who understands what temptation and all this has felt like. So now we have somebody that has went through the fire. We have somebody that has stood the test of time, has been rejected, has been destroyed. The church has rejected him. But guess what? Thank God we have a Savior that who can stand at the right hand of the Father and begin to testify to what he's already done. Not just for his sake, but for our sake. This is victory. If you can't applaud and you can't get crazy, then you need to check yourself. This is what victory looks like. Victory says this: I'm still working on my relationship. I'm still trying. I'm still working it out. But guess what? Even in our trying, he's already perfected. And it's great to know, and I see these young ladies giving their testimonies and being vulnerable and being open. I hope it's a testimony not to just other youth, but I hope it's a testimony to each and every adult that think that God has done with you in the state of mind that you are, that if we can start out with them, this is the generation, this is the church, and we're going to build them up, and they're going to be a testimony to you, to inspire you to go out and be a testimony to someone else. Iron sharpens iron. If we're going to start, let's start at home first. Sorry, I'm getting a little excited. I want you to understand that we got a great generation arising. No, you didn't hear me because you should have clapped. You got some grandparents in here. You got some mothers in here. You got some fathers in here. You got some uncles in here. We got a generation that is about to take God to a whole new level, and it's just because of their testimony and who they decide to lift up. It's not their testimony that we're just lifting up. We're lifting up the name of Jesus, and he says he'll draw all men unto him. And when all of us is drawn into him, our lives can only be changed and from the inside out. Let me tell you something. And I told the youth this, and Tanasia said, I think, whatever you put yourself around, that's what you can become. It's time that the church get in the presence of God and watch God change them. I got a message for the youth that's going to come, and I'm going to give you a little, because it plays, it's called What's Your Kryptonite? You know, every kryptonite didn't kill Superman, but there was one. He didn't have to touch it. He just had to get in the presence of it. What if the church got in the presence of Jesus? What would change? What would we really become just getting in the presence? Let's look at Moses. Let's see what happened to Moses. He didn't just get in the presence. He got in the glory. So much that he had to cover his face. What if the church became what God intended us to be, just to be in the presence of him? And I'm going to do something that's just kind of off key. If you are you, please stand up. I don't care if you come to Monday nights or not. Stand up. If you are you, stand up. I want you to come up here on stage. Come on up here on stage. Come on up here on stage. Hurry up. I'm going to put some spotlight on you. Listen, I'm your cheerleader. I'm going to be your cheerleader. I'm going to cheer you when you're wrong, and I'm going to cheer you when you're right. Because I believe in this generation, we're working on him, okay? We're working. Come on, spread out across here. Come on. I hope you teens, come on, scoot on over. Act like your family. Get close. Y'all know how I am. Come on, y'all. Come on, Limp. Run over there. Oh, no, my bad. But no, yeah, I do. I want you teens to know. And if there's any teens that's sitting back or middle schooler that's sitting back, say, hey, I'm not a part of that, that may want to be a part of that, be a part of it. Let me hear your story. Let me hear what Jesus is doing in your life. And I hope that each and every one of y'all know something. Just because it's their moment now doesn't mean your time is not coming. Because there's more than just three testimonies up here. There's an army of testimonies of who God is. And parents, I'm going to give you a little nugget if you ain't already doing it. If we're going to change the generation, we better start praying at home, doing devotionals at home, and we better incorporate Jesus at home. Because it's a disservice to your child if the only time they hear Jesus is on a Sunday and a Monday. We're building unity in them. I believe in each and every one of them. I got to know Christian back here. He blew our minds at Vacation Bible School, and he said it's just mind control. I wish somebody could get that mind control. If we had some mind control. And I just want to let y'all know, I'm thankful for each and every one of y'all. I'm thankful for your testimonies. I'm thankful for who y'all are. I'm waiting for you. You know, I'm always on you. You see how he's looking at me? I'm always looking at him. I'm always calling. I call them leaders. I don't pick out one. He's a leader. Can I just share? Is that okay if I just share like little bits of who they are? This young man is fascinated with science. Science. And his question has always been, how does God and science work together? Huh? Yes. Was it the youth, men's youth conference? We ain't no youth. Man, we all broken up. Men's conference we had in 2019. They talked about evolution and all that stuff. And we found out that like 87 or 90% of most teens that go on to college end up falling out of the church and losing their faith because evolution gives them the answer. You know what we got to do with him? Get him the answer. Because if the answer is Jesus, then he can help that 87 to 90%. They're leaders. Who else? Let's see. I never really spotlight her. She's always in the background. Come on up here. I'm a spotlighter. She may not be mine, but she's my adopted one. And she's got great things. She loves to sing. She deals with identity, but I know she's a leader. Anytime we ask her to help, she jumps to it without thinking, without us having to applaud. Y'all already know about Chloe. She's it. She's always, I just met him. What's your name again? Colson, yeah. Hey, is it okay? I just met, come on, y'all. Some of y'all didn't know who my name was when I first got up here. Like, who's Andre? Okay, so don't judge me. But I just met him doing Vacation Bible School, right? I hope to see him. We just seen him Monday in youth, really good with his brother, with the good looks. He's got really good looks. Emily is a fantastic leader. She's quiet, but I firmly believe she's the mouthpiece of our youth group. And this is the reason why I say this. I believe she's got enough in her to pour any child to who God needs them to be or to a youth group and be that mouthpiece for us. You need those type of kids, those type of teens. So, Maddie, what do I always tell you? Huh? I'm waiting on your, I always tell her, I said, I'm waiting on your breakthrough, Donna. And she looks at me and says, what are you talking about? Sometimes you just got to speak it and keep speaking it and keep speaking it and praying over it until you see it come. She's a great leader. She helped out one day. They was doing dinner here. She started helping, cleaning. Nobody had to tell her. She just, that's a leader. She makes you food. These two right here, they're from the Boys and Girls Club in Morristown. And his sister's getting baptized today. She, yes. Look, she's like, why? I've been trying to get him more attached. We're about to start doing some things, studying the Bible and stuff together. We're going to start doing some things at the Boys and Girls Club with him. His sister, she's been fearful of having water go over her face. And about a month ago, we took him to Doe River through the Boys and Girls Club. And I was just playing around. And I was just like, let me baptize you. And she let me baptize her. And I dumped her under the water, and the water went over her face. Her mama came Wednesday and told us how big that was and how fearful she was of water going over her face. This young lady's been wanting to get baptized for how many years? About 6 years she's been wanting to get baptized. And guess what? We're going to provide for her today. We're going to provide. I don't know the two over here on the end. What's your name? Bree. What is it? Bryn. All right. How old are y'all? All right. I hope y'all come to youth so I can get to know y'all. I know you just because you sing up here on stage. You know, that's really cool. So I hope Monday, tomorrow, be here, okay? Tell your parents, go back and like, hey, there's a cool dude. He's a pastor. Hey, I need to go to youth, okay? Tell them they can come too. Just sit in the back, okay? All right? But all these youth, what's your name? Hannah? Just met her. How you doing? You gonna come to youth too? Okay, I see you. Huh? Yeah, you can sit down. You're old. Did I miss anybody? Is this okay, Josh? It's fine. This is Faith. Faith just started doing talent shows at the Boys and Girls Club. If you see a trend, I kind of got a hookup with the Boys and Girls Club. She was fearful, couldn't sing, wouldn't sing in front of people. We found out that she can sing. And she likes coming on Mondays to sing and do worship. And that's really spectacular. Danica is my new best friend. Okay? This girl is it. She, you know what? All of them is the reason why I come. But you ever have that one person in your life that no matter what you do, they're going to come up and tell you something good about what they've been going through, and it just ignites something inside of you, and you just don't want to fail them. So you're like, yes, I just had a bad day. And then Danica shows up and just makes it all great. All right. So I just wanted to introduce. I hope I didn't miss nobody. Got you back here. That's Ross's son. We're going to pray for you, okay? All right, we understand. We got your back. But no, he's a great kid. I get to talk to him. He always very manageable to me. Where's my youth leaders at? Adult youth leaders. Stand up. I won't bring you up there because she said, uh-oh. Hey, can I give my adult youth team a round of applause? I really appreciate y'all. I really appreciate everything that we do. We've been through it, right? We've been through it, but guess what? God is still doing it. Even in spite of, he's still doing it. So let's give them another round of applause because these are great people.